Hello and welcome to episode 3 of the Integral Anatomy 3-week dissection with me, Julian Baker, from San Francisco, California, USA. We're into week 3 now. This is the Easter weekend, Monday the 21st of April. I'm recording this. We've had an interesting weekend. The 4:20 was yesterday, so the 20th of the 4th. And at 4:20, 10,000 people descend on Golden Gate Park to smoke marijuana, which is technically illegal, but it's some kind of big deal over here that everybody does that. At the same time, there's been the Hunky Jesus competition hosted by the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, where thousands of people in a very colourful and exceedingly camp party have enjoyed the holiday weekend. So it is particularly exclusive to San Francisco. There's some very interesting things going on here. So we're going to be looking at what's been going on over the last week or so with particular regard to deep fascia and muscle in the lab. It's a great luxury to be able to spend as long as we have been doing carefully reflecting deep fascia and looking to record some of the things that we're seeing in that. Some of the myths and some of the ideas about this layer really don't sort of cut the mustard when you look at it in the anatomy books. It's really an uncharted territory. Does it relate to function? Well, I don't know. We'll address that another time. So I'm going to be playing some music through the podcast this week and on the background. At the end of the podcast, I'll sort of stick most of the track up there. It's a track by a band that I first saw in San Francisco a few years ago called the Decembrists, and it's about the city itself, and it's called Grace Cathedral Hill, so I hope you enjoy that.
Grace Cathedral Hill, all wrapped in bones of setting sun, all dust and stone and moribund. I paid 25 cents to light a little white candle for a New Year's Day.
So some of the confusion that arises when we are looking at dissecting the deep fascia is, where does it go and what's its behavior? The idea that the deep fascia simply surrounds the muscle in a convenient saran wrap plastic bag is one that is very easy to get mixed up in. So when you start to cut into these layers, we see them ducking and diving, going down towards bone, and splitting up different structures in a way that is quite chaotic sometimes. And this was something that people were butting up against during the week when trying to differentiate the deep fascia from muscle, and indeed superficial fascia from muscle as well. So, and something that Gil had a little talk about.
If you're peeling the deep fascia and taking the outer layer off, you're going to see these white lines as you cut across the top of the septum where it branched off of the cylinder. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So there are a variety of these. Muscles arise from them and have an intimate fibrous relationship with these septa, plural, septum, singular, septa, plural. So again, that's part of what we're noticing.
Are you saying it's our choice whether we can follow the septum or whether we go across? Is that what you're saying? Or?
You're just going to do it. Okay. And you'll be like, dang, what am I doing here? Oh, this is what he mentioned. This is a septum. And then you can go back up and you can cut across the top so that you can ultimately reveal the whole outer surface of the muscle layer, which is different than muscles, because I don't talk about muscles much, but I talk a lot about the muscle layer. So that's thigh. There's other places along here. All over we're going to be peeling. Whether it's the deltoid, we lift the bag. Lift the bag. The forearm, we lift the bag. It's the same principle. Lift the bag, let the air infiltrate, and then cut the fascia, cut the air. Okay? It's really fun. And I hope that you'll hang with it, take notes, and for your own sake, as well as the sake of other people who are interested in what we're studying, take the notes, okay? That's your contribution to the world.
Where it's thin, should we
so be our knowledge is not just our own little experience, but our knowledge becomes of service to others. That way you extend their gift. That's how we're extending their gift. It's wonderful how we've always extended our gift by coming to these classes and then doing our practices and living our life in a slightly different way. Now we're going to make it even more accessible, right, by taking out some information that we can make it public.
Slow decay. We were both a little hungry, so we went to get a hot dog. Down the high street here.
Mia Miller.
Mia Miller, where are you from, Mia?
I'm from Los Angeles.
Cool, thank you. And
Donna Hall from Simi Valley, near Los Angeles.
And I'm Jim Donak, originally from Canada, but currently residing in Berkeley.
Who else is here?
Sienna Goodwin from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Is that it? We will.
That's our team.
So what are we doing?
That's our team.
What's happening?
We're observing the posterior surface of a dissected male form. Skin, superficial fascia is removed, and we're in the act of observing and removing some of the deep fascias.
So you call me over to talk about this trapezius, and it's not abnormal, but it's variable. So talk me through what we're seeing here.
What I'm looking at is that the lower edge of the left trapezius fibers, as it's near its sort of traditionally marked spinous process attachments, that just lateral to that inferior border, there's about a 3 millimeter width band of collagen fibers that are branching off and sort of weaving in over the lateral or the medial attachment to the latissimus. So not really attaching to the spinous processes, but more adhering to fascia that relates to the latissimus.
So we're seeing a blending in, aren't we? We're seeing a point where, and it's very different if you look up the center from left to right.
From left to right.
And yeah. We're seeing latissimus dorsi is joining hands like a trapeze act on the middle, the edge of the sort of lower edge of the thoracic and upper edge of the lumbar spine.
Right. It appears that some of the trap fibers in a layering are the deeper, and then the lat fibers are overlapping on some of those, and then that extra fin of trap fibers are superior to that yet.
So at the other end, at the top end of latissimus, we're seeing trapezius. The top end of trapezius. We're seeing there's like an extended slip of fascia joining itself up to the spine of the scap. What do you think happening there, Donna? Describe what you're saying.
Oh, it's meandering away beautifully over the scapula and seems to disappear into the fascia or into another muscle. It's very different from the right side, which is fascinating in this body.
And Mia?
Yes.
Right side to left side.
Certainly more chaotic fibers from what we have seen. Yeah. That line that Jim has found is certainly not as distinct.
Do you think, from a hands-on perspective, it's something that you'd be able to look for? Is it something you would be able to? I mean, it's hard to know how to translate that into function, isn't it?
We think there. It just appears that there would have to have been some kind of functional.
His whole right side.
Change.
Remember, you found on
the right side and the left side. The samples we took traced all the way down into the calf from the upper body. The difference in the right to left. So, as unusual as this is, it's not surprising, is it?
And we've seen lymph nodes underneath his armpits the size of pebbles, marbles.
Bigger than grapes.
Bigger than grapes.
And in his groin.
Yeah.
And neck.
So we are speaking now with Carla Oliver.
Oliver, yeah.
Oliver.
Oliver.
Okay, and Carla, you particularly wanted to be on this podcast because you think your accent is amazing, don't you?
I think so, yeah. Well, people tell me then it's like listening to Celine Dion singing. So that's why I want to be in there.
Where are you from, Carla?
I'm from Brazil.
But you don't live there anymore?
No, I live in Oregon, Portland, Oregon. Yeah.
And what do you do in Portland, Oregon?
I'm a Pilates instructor. I have a home studio.
And have you done this class before?
I've done the six-day training before, and I had to come back. It's amazing.
So you came to do the 3 weeks, and how different is it for you?
We get to appreciate for longer. We get to...
I just don't want to be at the wrong
not to be in a hurry to dismantle things. So we are looking at them more deeply, and that's really interesting and amazing. But I didn't know that until I came here, so I wasn't sure how that was going to play out.
So have you been getting on today in terms of deep? We've been deep fascia yesterday and today. How's that been working out for you?
Yeah, we are removing the deep fascia today. It's been a lot of work because this the lady, the woman that we've been working on seems to have a lot of fat adipose tissue embedded in the layers itself, so I think it makes the work a little more.
So it's that confusing aspect of finding where a septum is going and trying to follow it down and when to stop. And
yeah, exactly. When to stop.
That's so deep fascia isn't really deep fascia. It stops being and becomes something else and becomes something else.
Yeah, it depends on the location. So in some locations, it's very clear. You can really differentiate. And some other locations, you can't.
And from a functional perspective, say a Pilates perspective, is it something that you would change or adapt or understand because of what you've been doing? Is there anything that this room or this class brings to you in terms of how you would adapt?
Yeah. Sometimes I find it easier to teach the clients most of the times what we see on the books, but the way, especially when I'm in a group class, in a group session, but when I'm able to reach out to the client more closely and touch the client, my perspective changes whenever they are moving. So it might be my understanding changing on what I accept from their movement rather than changing on how they move. Instead of saying do this or do that, it's just understanding how all that moves all together.
A bigger view, a more complete view.
Yeah, a more complete view, yeah.
Thank you very much for talking to us. It was a little bit like listening to Celine Dion singing.
Was it?
Oh, it was, yeah. Good. So thank you very much.
Slide and disappear. The air it stunk of fish and beer. We heard a Superman trumpet play the national anthem.
Okay, Christine. Who are you? Tell me who you are.
Christine Anderson.
Christine Anderson. Where are you from, Christine?
From Ottawa, Canada.
Ottawa, Canada. Ottawa, I can't even say it. Ottawa, Canada. You live there right now. You live in Canada.
I do.
You're just down for this course.
Yes.
Anyway, so how are you getting on? You talked this morning in the circle time about finding this lady that you're working on quite hard.
Yes. Her tapestry is really thick and it's not eager to let go. It's difficult to find her layers, although her layers are really defined. She seems to have another layer and another layer and another layer in between those defined spaces.
Well, is that a good thing? I mean, maybe the layers are concealing the layers.
Yes.
Is that what you're at?
Yeah.
And we've also on your table got Kimberly. Kimberly, what's your name, Kimberly?
Hardick. Kimberly Hardick.
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 But with one D.
You're kidding me.
Hardick.
Seriously.
I'm serious.
I'm loving it. You're called Hard Dick. That's great.
It's better than Soft Dick, right?
I am not going to draw that. So where are you from, Kimberly?
Alito, Texas.
Alito, Texas. I've been listening to your voice all week, haven't I?
You have.
Yeah. So how are you getting on? You had a tough time yesterday.
I had a tough day yesterday, yeah. Yeah, I was... last year, my difficult layer was the superficial fascia, just because of my struggle with my own fat. This was a little different. I kept feeling very angry and frustrated, and Christina and I were talking that we both are pretty much anti, like, focusing on form and being detached. But maybe we are so attached to being detached that that's where our struggle is coming from with this particular lady, as we're, you know, trying to
detach her.
Detach.
Yeah.
Let's not project, girl.
Well, it is just, I suppose it's just a feeling that you're getting, isn't it? Rather than that's your reality that you're experiencing.
So, right.
Yeah. good. No, there's lots of deep fascia to play with here. It's a very deep fascial. There's a lot of thickness of the deep fascia around the legs and around the abdomen. And so that's really the next challenge, is to get this off and start to see those muscular layers underneath, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good luck with that.
Thank you, sir.
Catch up with you later.
Alrighty.
Oh, dick.
And the world may be long for you, but it'll never be long to you. But on a motorbike.
So the next stage was to start to fluff muscles, and when we get to the muscle layer, it wasn't a case of taking them off, but more a case of seeing where they were coming from and going to, and what the reference points were. And so this next clip is just a small section of what Gil's talking about in relation to the muscular layer.
And along the way, I find, oh my gosh, on this one, for instance, you found sometimes when you're going underneath the anterior rectus sheath that your finger could pass easily along the surface of the muscle proteins as you palpated upward the surface of the deep fascia, and then you got stuck and you couldn't go further, right? Because there was a fibrous investment of the surface of that tissue with the tissue above it. So there's a difference in the quality of the relationship at the tendinous insertions. There's a difference in the quality of relationship at the muscle, what we call the muscle bellies, right? So what I'm going to call you to over the next several days is to notice for your sake and to build in yourself an inventory of the quality of relationship of the muscle tissue along all of its surfaces, so that you really know some human anatomy as opposed to the list of conventions around origins and insertions based upon cutting traditions, which is interesting enough. And it's a foundation to stand upon. But I will not preference for you some relationships over other relationships. In other words, all of the muscle relationships are valuable and important, not only as a thorough accounting of the physical form, they're mechanically important as well. You can be a straight mechanist and appreciate this approach. Because those filmy relationships of the tissues, right, along its surface actually represent mechanical leverage in action. They're not just, it's not the origins and insertions insufficiently describe the mechanical leverage of the muscle tissue. The muscle tissue is also leveraging the deep fibrous fascial investments. You saw that tibialis anterior is not just leveraging at the bone, it's leveraging the fascia. It's leveraging the relationship of the fascia and the bone and the interosseous membrane, if you want to keep going, because you're going to have to scrape that baby off the interosseous membrane. So the muscles are leveraging membranes, they're leveraging fibers, they're leveraging bones, they're leveraging each other through fibrous relationships, right? These groupings that we've named. And also, these spans of filmy tissue represent not only sliding potential between and within the muscle, right? There's sliding potential between the muscle cells. There's sliding potential between the bundles of muscle cells. There's sliding potential between great groups of muscle cells, and then there's sliding potential between named muscles and other named muscles, as well as sliding potential between named muscles in groups together and the fascia that envelops them. So there's sliding potential all there, but that's not the end of the story of the filmy fascia, because the filmy fascia not only permits movement, but it also limits it. And I don't mean only in pathology, right, but in the mechanical leveraging of our movement. So filmy fascia is a limit cycle on the motion of the muscle tissue, which is to say it permits and limits movement in health. Otherwise, everything would fall down around your ankles. Right? In other words, we don't stand up and everything goes boom, boom, boom. Right? So there's a limit to, in other words, I can have movement here, right? But it's not infinite. I can't take my skin off. I can slide it some and it locks out. Okay, that's a demonstration of a principle that's active also within this muscle layer. Right? The principle of sliding and locking. So how do we fluff then? You may already have encountered muscle tissue falling apart on you. Okay, and muscle tissue can't take rough handling when you've stripped it of its integrity. Right? We're just dealing with a pile of proteins here, folks. So they're going to fall apart on you, or they'll stay together if you're careful. So if I come in here, right, and I look at, you know, we've stripped out the fascia out of here, and I see famous named muscle, right, sartorius. I see some of it, I don't see all of it. If you really want to fluff well, you're going to differentiate the tissue carefully and stick to its pathway. So for instance, I know this muscle tissue isn't going to hold up to much of a beating, so it's good. I'm showing you're all like this. You're somewhat prepared and somewhat not prepared for it. I'm going to use only the back of my scalpel tip. I never touch a scalpel to muscle. Never. There's no point in it. A muscle can't really handle that. As surely as films and fuzzes create limit cycles for movement and limitation of movement upon your muscle tissue, so do veins and arteries and nerves. Right? So your veins and arteries and nerves are structural elements. Your heart's a limit cycle too. Structural elements upon the movement of your tissues and their sturdiness, etc. So, see that?
So that was the end of the second week of the adventure. A little bit hit and miss with sound, I do apologize for that. We will check back in later on in the third week and see how we've been getting on. We're going to get into the visceral layer and the spinal cord and the brain into week three, and then go for the big clean down. It's been an intense 2 weeks so far, and I can only imagine how difficult it's going to be to finish it already. I know we're a week away, but yeah, it's going to be quite a wrench to walk away from this. So watch this space. Thanks very much for listening, and look forward to speaking to you all again very soon. I'll sing 53 bucks to buy a brand new halo, sweet on a green-eyed girl, all fiery Irish clip and curl, all brine and piss and vinegar. I paid 25 cents.